Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call of Concord Biotech Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sagar Shroff from Strategic Growth Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call for Concord Biotech Limited. Today, we are joined by Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Lalit Sethi, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Prakash Sajnani, Compliance Officer and AVP Accounts. The company has uploaded its financial results and investor presentation on its website and stock exchanges. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We will begin the call with opening commentary by the management, followed by a Q&A session. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director for Concord Biotech Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our quarter two FY24 earnings conference call. We are happy to report a robust financial and operational performance for quarter ended September 2023. Our revenues during this quarter grew from rupees 159 crores to rupees 262 crores, a growth of 65% over the same quarter last year. EBITDA and PAT in this quarter grew to rupees 116 crore and rupees 81 crore from rupees 37 crore and rupees 22 crore, respectively, in quarter two of last year. Similarly, our half-yearly revenue stood at rupees 457.2 crores, a growth of 35%, with EBITDA margins at 42.4% and PAT margins at 29.6%. Concord has cultivated a significant level of expertise in the fermentation process, allowing us to create and bring to market a diverse range of fermentation-based APIs. Fermentation is a complex procedure that demands specialized manufacturing knowledge, working with different types of microorganisms, meticulous control of various process parameters, and multiple purification steps. This technical expertise, along with years of manufacturing experience and diverse customer base, creates a high entry barrier for this business. Concord has emerged as the dominant player in the field of immunosuppressants, uniquely holding a complete portfolio of fermentation-based APIs for these specific drugs worldwide. Furthermore, we are working on creating a leadership position on other specialized fermentation-based APIs in oncology, anti-infective, and antifungal space. In some of the APIs, we are already seeing this play out, and we are getting good inquiries and orders for these molecules. In addition to our technical proficiency, we operate extensive manufacturing facilities with a consistent track record of regulatory approvals and compliances. This enables us to supply to both regulated and unregulated international markets. Our robust research and development capabilities, coupled with an in-house R&D team, have allowed us to develop these specialized products, including the manufacturing of the key starting materials, giving us competitive advantages. As a part of our forward integration, we had also commenced our formulation manufacturing of oral solid dosage in 2016 and are on track to commence our upcoming injectable facility by quarter one of financial year 25. This will help us penetrate even deeper in markets across geographies. Over the years, we have nurtured our enduring relationship with key clients, including prominent global generic pharmaceutical companies. Currently, we serve over 200 customers across more than 70 countries, providing both APIs and formulation products. Going forward, we remain confident of our growth strategies of penetrating deeper for our core molecules and increasing wallet share among existing customers. Adding new customers across geographies in regulated and emerging markets. Adding new molecules in the niche category to create a large product portfolio and offerings under one roof. Thank you. And with this, I hand over the call to Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Concord Biotech Limited. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We are delighted to announce a robust performance for quarter 2 FY24, and our outlook for H2 remains optimistic and in line with our annual guidance. In quarter 2 FY24, we achieved revenue of Rs. 262 crores against Rs. 159 crores in the same quarter last year, with API revenues increasing by 46%. Our formulation revenue, which stood at 35 crores in this quarter, is in line with our outlook of FY23-24. It is essential to emphasize that our financial results should be evaluated on an annualized basis rather than on quarterly one. This approach accounts for potential fluctuations in quarterly revenues. We are optimistic to surpass our historical 18% CAGR growth in this year. We are pleased to share that following the recent regulatory inspection conducted by US FDA, we have received the EIR of our Limbasi site and no observations were given by them. This approval has unlocked additional capacities for global markets for our existing products. As subsequent to the US FDA inspection, customers have started initiating the process of including the Limbasi facility in their dossier. With this, our customers get the flexibility to procure API from both sites. This development is expected to fuel revenue growth in both regulated markets and other markets. For the upcoming year, our company's primary focus will be on consolidation and optimizing the utilization of our capacities at Limbasi and Valthera plants. This strategic move is poised to serve as the primary catalyst for revenue growth. By enhancing operational efficiency and leveraging our operations, we anticipate an improvement in our EBITDA margins. In quarter two, our export revenue stood at 138 crores as against 72 crores in quarter two FY23. This increase can be attributed to our successful expansion into both regulated and emerging markets, driven by our diverse product portfolio spanning across various therapeutic areas. Let me speak about our growth drivers going forward. Firstly, in our API business, we anticipate growth through our existing product portfolio. This growth will be fueled by industry expansion, steady shift of market from innovators to generic alternatives, and an increased market presence in global markets. This potential is bolstered by our robust manufacturing capabilities, technical expertise, and state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities, all complemented by consistent regulatory approvals on a timely basis. Another growth driver for Concord is the addition of new APIs in the niche category to create a large product portfolio and offerings. On the back of our strong and competent R&D team, having expertise in fermentation and semi-synthetic APIs and continuous developments, we are confident of commercializing products across niche fermentation and semi-synthetic based APIs across therapies. We have a pipeline of products currently in development stages, which are slated for commercialization over the next 2 to 3 years. This strategic move allows us to expand further and tap into new opportunities. Some of the indicative products in the pipeline includes voclosporin, which is an immunosuppressant, fidaxomicin, daptomycin, which are anti-infectives, epirubicin, doxorubicin, idarubicin, and pirarubicin, which falls under the oncology. There are several other products which are in the pipeline at various stages. Speaking of our formulation business, formulation revenues have been steadily increasing. We have close to 77 approved formulation products in India and 4 ANDA approvals for our 6 products from US FDA and a total capacity of 802 million units. We have also filed dossiers in the emerging markets. In several of these markets, we have got approvals for our products and have started commercial sales. We expect several other markets to open up for us in the coming years. Also, with our new injectable facility commercializing in quarter one of FY25, we are confident of increasing our business from the formulation vertical as well. Over the years, Concord has diligently cultivated its capabilities and an extensive range of products, positioning itself at the forefront of competition. We have steadily expanded our customer base across global markets, and this strategic approach has solidified our reputation and enabled us to make deeper inroads by attracting additional customers and further penetrating our existing client base. To conclude, I would like to say that with our strong presence across the fermentation value chain, market leadership in several of the fermentation APIs, and focus on complex niche fermentation APIs across therapeutic areas, and increasing utilization of our capacities, we are confident of outperforming the industry growth. With this, I hand over the call to Lalit Sethi for financial highlights for quarter two of this financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ankur. I will take you through now the financial performance of this quarter. On the revenue front, our revenues for quarter two financial year 24 stood at Rs. 262.4 crores as compared to Rs. 158.9 crores in the same quarter last year, which represents a growth of 65%. Revenues for H1 grew by 35% from the same period last year. Our revenue from API business grew by 46% in this quarter and stood at Rs. 227.4 crores in H1 FY24, API revenue stood at 390.3 crores, representing growth of 26% from the same period last year. Revenue from formulation business in this quarter stood at rupees 34.9 crores and for H1 FY24, it stood at rupees 66.9 crores. Domestic revenue grew by 44% and 38% respectively for quarter 2 and H1. Our export revenues for quarter 2 grew from 72 crore to 138 crores and for H1, exports revenue grew from 174 crore to 228 crores. Speaking on EBITDA, reported EBITDA on the standalone basis for quarter 2 of this financial year stood at rupees 119.2 crores, which is 45%. EBITDA for H1 stood at rupees 191 crores, which is 42%. EBITDA, including the share in profit from the JV, stood at rupees 115 crores with a margin of 44.1% in quarter 2 of this financial year. On profit after tax, our profit after tax for quarter 2 of this financial year stood at rupees 81 crores, which is 31%, and PAT for the H1 stood at rupees 135.5 crores, which is 30% of revenue from operations. So with this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a very strong performance. So we have seen a big surge in this quarter in growth, 65% year-on-year in top line. Now, was there any lumpiness which explains this kind of a growth? I am asking this because if you look at our performance in the first quarter, we were at sub 10% year-on-year growth. So just wanted to check whether there was any postponement or maybe even a preponement of orders in this quarter.
Basically, in this quarter, the sales has increased from 159 to 262 crores, the growth of 65%. However, Concord should be viewed from an annualized basis rather than on quarter-to-quarter basis. So, in fact, there could be quarter-to-quarter variations in the procurement pattern of our customers, maybe due to several reasons, such as upcoming production schedule at the customer's end. So as a result, they may procure more in a specific quarter than the other quarter. So however, we do not see any change in the annual demand and that we have forecasted from our customers. So therefore, on an annualized basis, we expect to do better than our historical CAGR of 18% growth. The same would be for the profitability, as there would be certain costs which are expected to be incurred in the second half of the year. So, however, we expect the EBITDA margin to grow better than our growth in the sales.
Sir, can you help with maybe more details on whether the change in the ordering patterns in this quarter, was it specific to one customer or a set of customers, or maybe was it for just one product or maybe a set of products? Any details on that would be helpful, sir.
Yeah, so... you know, this we have seen across several of our customers because as you would have seen that our first quarter growth was close to around 7 to 8%. So we do expect that some of the spillover would have happened to quarter two, and there could have been some preponement of say quarter three into the quarter two sales. However, you know, we have seen these across all our segments. The growth that has come up. So as a matter of fact, I'm pleased to inform that we saw higher growth in the oncology and anti-infective segment vis-a-vis our immunosuppressants. So while all of them grew, the rate of growth was higher in the onco-anti-infective segment. I would say that this is primarily based on how some of our customers have picked up the material, and there have been some spillovers from previous quarters or from the coming quarters into this specific quarter too. But as mentioned by Lalit, we are optimistic that, you know, we will grow better than our historical CAGR, and we do not see any changes in terms of or any concerns in achieving that number there on an annualized basis.
Sure, that's helpful, Ankur. A follow-up to that would be, you mentioned about being optimistic about the second half as well. Now, in our previous call, we had mentioned about a 40 to 60 mix broadly between the first half and the second half. Now, given the strong performance you've seen in the second quarter and consequently the first half, should we expect a similar 40-60 mix in the this time around as well, in this fiscal as well?
So I would say that, again, coming to what Lalit said, that, while we have seen that historically, it does not really mean that going forward also every year, this could be a similar trend because of this lumpiness in the sales that one would observe. So while we are confident that in order to achieve that CAGR growth that we spoke about, our quarter two would be better off than what our quarter one is. But the percentages could be varying in order to achieve our annualized growth number.
Understood. And maybe one final question. See, on the annual guidance as well, right? You mentioned about growing at more than 18% year-on-year in FY24. Now, the first half growth itself is around 35%. So I know you mentioned 18%+, but are you being a bit conservative in your top line guidance for this fiscal?
No, we would continue to stick with our guidance that we have, and you know, one should go with that guidance going forward as well.
Fair enough. That's helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jigar Walia from OHM Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the great set of numbers, and thanks for the opportunity. If you can help us understand the update on the various plants and in terms of utilization as well, it would be great. So maybe your perspective around timelines for the FDAs and the utilization at the various plants.
In fact, as far as the capacity utilization of these three plants are concerned, in Unit 1, we have been operating at capacity of around 78%. And in Dilwasi, we have been operating on around 35 to 36%. And in Unit 2, we have operated at around 14 to 15% capacity utilization.
Got
H1 of 2024.
And in terms of broader timelines, in terms of the FDA approvals for this, and will the injectable plant which will come up at Valthera, that also would be clubbed in, the final approval will come only after that, or how does?
So the injectable plant, as you mentioned, will be ready by quarter one of FY25, and you know, the next financial year will be more towards getting the validation batches and doing the filings. And this facility is primarily targeted towards India and emerging markets. So, you know, there could be a possibility that by the end of next financial year, we could get some regulatory inspections from some of the emerging market authorities. But it will all depend on in terms of how the filing of the dossiers go from the injectable site.
Got it. So as of now, Limbasi, Valthera continue to be towards either domestic or ROW markets, and Dholka would be towards both regulated as well as the other markets.
So Dholka is for global markets because it is approved by, inspected by US, Europe, Japan, Korea, and several other authorities. The Limbasi facility, which is the new API facility built in 21, that facility is also US FDA inspected, so it happened, the inspection happened in June of 23, and which was concluded with 0483 observations. So with that, we have now continued, we have started our supplies to several of our customers in the regulated markets as well from that Limbasi facility. So Limbasi facility caters to several regulated markets as well as India and emerging markets. And Valthera facility, which is the formulation facility, is approved by US FDA and several other emerging markets, from where we are supplying our finished formulations to global markets.
What would be the mix for regulated markets for Q1, Q2? And follow-up is that, would the ROW margins be similar to the domestic business?
As far as the US and the ROW markets are concerned, it's around 17% and 33% of the total sales in quarter two and H1 numbers. With respect to the margins, our margins within in regulated as well as emerging markets are more or less the same.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vivek Agrawal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity, and congrats for good set of numbers. So Ankur, if you can talk about how the pricing trends were there in some of the top products, that would be really helpful. And basically, how is the growth contributed as far as the pricing is concerned, as far as the volumes are concerned? So if you can throw some light, thank you.
So for the half year numbers, all the growth that has come through volume only. Our pricing has been relatively stable, and you know, as we mentioned, that in case we have added newer customers, there could have been a differential pricing to those customers, but otherwise our pricing has been fairly stable for all the products, and the growth has been primarily volume driven for us.
Perfect, this is super helpful. And in terms of new customers, basically, how that is tracking? Well, in the first half, we have grown 35% YY, right? So would you like to attribute a part of and a specific number that has been driven by the new customer addition in your existing portfolio? Thank you.
So, you know, we have added new customers in this 6 months, and I believe that the number, Lalit,
it's around five customers have been added in formulation and API business.
Okay, so, and in terms of margins, right, we have seen around 200 basis point kind of expansion in the gross margin. So is it largely due to higher sales or increasing operating leverage, or for example, is there any change in cost of materials, etc.?
No, so the margin primarily has been on account of operational efficiencies that have come in, which have helped in higher EBITDA margins from for us as compared to the sales growth that has happened. So it is primarily because of the operational efficiency that the EBITDA margin has expanded significantly higher than what the growth
growth
in the sales number are.
Perfect. Thanks, Ankur. This is helpful. We'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Direct Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congrats for the very great set of numbers. A couple of questions on the revenue aspect. If you look at last year base, at least for Q2, the formulation revenue has kind of sequentially declined. Is there any lumpiness in the previous year in FY23 which led to, you know, 40-60 split between first half and second half? And that kind of getting kind of corrected this year, where we can see some shift from second half to first half, is that can be inferred? Because Q1 seemed to be, you know, 1Q to Q2 last year has seen a 12% revenue decline. So is there any, and because of that, the first half revenue share is 40%. For the annual year. So if you can explain what has happened last year and whether this year will be slightly different from that.
So in quarter two last year, there was some return from one of our customers or from our US partner, because of which it had a negative impact on the formulations sales. Mm-hmm. Which was a one-time impact, and the reason for the lower number in the last year quarter.
Okay. And the utilization seems to be picking up, and you know, from last year closer, the Limbasi has improved from 75 to 78. How soon, or any indication in terms of what will be the year end utilization levels we are targeting based on the orders we have?
So, in fact, utilization for Dholka plant is around 78%, which was 75% in the last year.
Correct.
For Limbasi, it is 32% in H1. And
for Limbasi, is 32 or 35? You mentioned 32 to 35.
32% is there. Last year, I think it was 30%, around 30%. And Valthera, it is around 15%, which was 12% last year. So just to add to what Lalit mentioned, that the oncology segment saw good growth for us, and the oncology facility is only there in Dholka and not in Limbasi. So this also kind of correlates with that the higher utilization number beyond a certain point is getting attributed to quite a large extent towards the oncology, which kind of contributed to this half year number growth. And at the Limbasi facility, we continue to see higher capacity utilizations on account of deeper penetration into markets and engaging more with our customers. And the Valthera facility, we are seeing good traction in the emerging markets as well as in India market, which is leading to higher capacity utilization for the formulation facility.
Great. Okay. And just last bit on the oncology part. This is the new business which we are getting, and that is kind of getting ramped up, or this was new customer. Any color on the oncology part, if you can, and how sustainable is this ongoing business, which will continue for upcoming quarters?
So I think it's a blend of both. So our existing customers, we are there is an increase in the wallet share, and we are also reaching out to newer customers for our products. So I would say it's a good blend between of the two, because of which we are seeing this increase in the oncology segment as well. And going forward, as I mentioned, that with API manufacturers, once we start engaging with our formulation customers, there is a lot of stickiness to the business. So we expect this to continue over the years. And as Concord is known for creating a leadership position for its APIs, we expect to create similar leadership position on the other segments such as onco, anti-infectives and antifungal, as we have done it for the immunosuppressant segments over the years.
Right. Thank you and all the very best. And greetings for the festive to the team. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, then please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aarti Rai from Equentis Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. Wanted to check on a couple of things. The first one being the CDMO opportunity. So while last we spoke, we did mention that the current year would not include any opportunity in the estimate. So by when do we? So I mean, from the past conversations, if it would be good if we can have some update there, given Limbasi is also now doing well on utilization. So any update on further conversations and when we should start building in numbers from that opportunity?
So, CDMO is a segment that we have considered it to be from a medium term to a long term perspective only, because while we have free capacity at our Limbasi facility and are also getting regulatory approvals for that site, opportunities like CDMO does take its own set of time, and hence we have put it from a medium to a long term strategy. That being said, we are engaging with potential customers, we are discussing with them and showcasing our strengths and capabilities, so that there is a potential opportunity for us to kind of work with these clients. But one should consider this from a medium to a long-term perspective only.
Okay. So when we say engaging with customers, is it primarily our existing customers, or are we speaking with some new client sets as well within the space?
So most of the discussions that are happening or where we are reaching out are with respect to new customers, because these set of customers would either be, people having very, very large presence within the API segment and they want to contract it out, rather than formulation players with whom we typically engage in. So the customer base is slightly different from the ones that we engage in.
Okay. One question on Limbasi. So presently, as we stand at around, 32% utilization, and on the last call, we did speak of about a utilization of 75 to 80% in the next 2 years. So over the at least next 2 years, I mean, how do we look at the utilization, say from 32%, 34% now? So full year, where would we be, and say 35, I mean 25 and 26 next couple of years?
So,
Tentatively?
You know, so I won't be able to give you guidance on how the capacity utilizations would work out, but as I mentioned in our previous discussions as well, that we expect to have a CAGR growth of around 25% over the next 5 to 6 years on the top line, wherein much of the growth coming from the Limbasi facility. And given our asset turnover, given how the growth that we are looking on a 5 to 6 year period, one can look at from how the capacity utilizations could be. But reaching to 70%-78%, you know, is going to be a 4 to 5 year process and not a 2 year process, because we have created almost twice the capacity that we have at Unit 1, which is 800 meter cube. So, you know, with that, you know, and considering our growth guidance for the next 5 to 6 years, it will be at least 4 to 5 years before we start reaching to that level of the utilization that, you know, you spoke about.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, ma'am. I will join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from Jefferies India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Ankur, good afternoon. So first one on contribution of top five APIs for the quarter and first half, please.
So, you know, we are not having and sharing details on a product-on-product or a top five molecule basis. But yes, I think what we can share is that products from the oncology segment has contributed, has seen a lot of traction. And we see that the segments such as the oncology are picking up quite a lot, what we've seen this year. And we're also seeing good traction from the other segments, such as the anti-infective segment as well. So, you know, seeing good contribution from across the therapies.
Okay. And Ankur, these the traction that you see are from new customers, or this is wallet share gain from existing ones?
It's a blend of both. So, you know, we are primarily driven by increase in the wallet share, because new customer addition, while it is contributing, it is not contributing that significantly to the overall onco growth, but it is a blend of both. But I think our engagement with customers have now started to increase within the other segments as well, wherein, you know, which is resulting in this.
Okay. Second one is on the Japan JV. So, can you provide more color on what type of JV arrangement is this? Is there some technology involved in this JV?
No, basically, it's a sale and purchase of the transaction which happens with the JV. Concord India sells the material to Concord Japan for onward selling in the Japanese markets. So this is a kind of an arrangement over there. But as per the Japanese law, it is a requirement that there should be one caretaker there. Therefore, there is a separate entity which has been created in Japan for that purpose.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And Ankur, you mentioned about some new costs which will come in second half. Can you provide some more color on what these costs are?
It's expected to be on injectable units. For example, you know, we are expecting to get it commercialized in the month of December. And for the first quarter, there could be some expenses which will be spent on the validation batches and which will be on the stability. So those kind of an expenses are expected to be there in quarter four.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you, Lalit. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a question on the existing products. Amongst our key products like tacrolimus, cyclosporine, and everolimus, there are different dosage forms, you know, like an extended release or a gel or a solution, which is going off patent next year and, you know, a couple of years after. So just wanted to check, does that give us a sizable opportunity from generic entry standpoint?
Yes, that does. And we are working with several customers for such kind of newer formulations as well.
Okay, and that drives your revenue guidance. I mean, that is a sizable part of the revenue guidance. These opportunities.
So, it will all depend in terms of how the generic players kind of get into the products once it becomes generic. So, when we talk about the overall guidance over the next 4 to 5 years, such kind of opportunities have been built into that.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussein from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah. Just wanted to understand, sir. So we were in discussion looking at some of the CDM opportunities. Is there any opportunities just coming to us? Are you in discussion with some of the clients on the CDMO part?
You know, so we are in discussion with the customers, but these customers again are evaluating multiple vendors. They may have their different timelines to kind of look at in terms of when they want to initiate such kind of CDMO opportunities. So while there are engagements that do happen, it may take time for it to fructify. So, discussions do happen, but that's why we have put it into sort of slightly on a medium term, because which of those kind of really, reach out to a level of contract manufacturing level is something to look at. So I would say, but there has been, compared to previous year, there have been a lot more discussions happening, both from customers and because they're seeing Concord having the capacities, having approvals, and we also are reaching out to our customers because of the capacities and approvals in place. So we are evaluating and are hopeful that we should see some opportunities getting built in the coming years on the CDMO front.
Got it. And secondly, sir, since you said that we will, the CFO said that we will grow at 18%, we have been growing at 18%, so this year we will grow at 18% plus 1 or 2% additional. And sir, you said a 25% plus growth over the next 4 years. So I think some misunderstanding on my end. So what should be the growth guidance that we should expect from the company going forward?
So, what Lalit mentioned is that historically we have grown at a CAGR of 18%, and we have different growth levers both at the API as well as at the finished formulation, which will help us grow at a CAGR of 25% over the next 5 to 6 years. Because, and this is going to be a gradual process from going from 18 to 25% CAGR, because, we are, like in this year, we have got the approval from the US FDA. Customers are including our Limbasi facility into their dossier. So we will see some growth happening on that end. There will be some growth coming in from the formulation as well. Subsequent year, we would also see that, there will be more consolidation at these two fronts, but also the injectable business will start kicking in. And then, of course, new R&D products, as they keep getting commercialized, maybe 1 to 2 products every year, they would also slowly and steadily start contributing. So that's why all these 3-4 opportunities, when clubbed together, will result into a 25% CAGR growth over the next 5 to 6 years. And one has to see it on a gradual move in terms of how we go from 18 to 25.
Got it. And secondly, sir, when you said that there was one customer whose product got returned in Q2 of FY23, So as a result, we are seeing some sort of year-on-year comparison, there is some lumpiness. So was it a sizable return? So should we consider this as a lumpy quarter for this year, wherein the numbers are way higher than year-on-year basis? How do we see that? Because I understand you said that we should look at the whole year basis. But still, we are not able to contemplate, because when we do build into our models, we are not able to understand exactly how the year will shape up for the company and how was it, is it comparable year as well. When I look at 2, 3, 5, 24 was Q2 of it.
Sorry, we lost you.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand. In Q2 of FY23, you said there were some product returns from on the formulation side.
Correct.
So there must be some lumpiness in this quarter. Should we consider that there was some lumpiness, or no, it wasn't in that case?
So I would say the lumpiness would have been probably in the last quarter of in the quarter of the last year because of this one-time effect that came in because of the formulation returns. But this year, I think we have seen steady growth in our formulation sales. Because, you know, newer markets have opened up and also our domestic formulation business is growing. So, that's how I would look at this year versus the last year. So the lumpiness would be more correlated with last year rather than looking at it from this year perspective.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Agrawal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So, as the company has highlighted, in the recent quarter, or in the first half, it's oncology and the anti-infectives have picked up. So, is it possible for you to share what is the share of immunosuppressants in API revenue in this quarter or the first half, and what is the share of oncology and anti-infectives? Thank you.
Sorry, we did not get you clearly. Could you repeat that, please?
So, if you can help us understand the share of revenues from immunosuppressants and oncology and anti-infective or anti-fungal in the first half revenues.
In the first half of the year, the contribution from immunosuppressant has been to the extent of around 74% to 75% of the total API sales. And oncology has been in the range of around 13% vis-a-vis 9% in the same period last year.
Thanks. And is it fair to assume that in oncology, the everolimus that is picking up?
So yes, our oncology segment products in that segment, such as everolimus, midostaurin, and other products which are there in that segment, are seeing good traction. So it is not only just one product, but we have close to 7 to 8 products in that segment, and we are seeing good traction in these molecules.
Perfect. And in terms of margins, would you like to give any ballpark number for fiscal 24, given that we have already done close to 42% in the first half? Any range basically that would like to end up for the full year of 2024?
So I think what we discussed earlier was that the growth in the EBITDA should be better than the growth that one would see in the top line because of the operational efficiency that gets built in.
Perfect. Thanks, Anko. Thank you. This is from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. One thing on the new product development side, we mentioned a couple of molecules in infectives, anti-infectives, couple in oncology and one in immunosuppressant. Any ballpark, market size which we are looking at in those product category would be how much relative to what we are currently targeting, the addressable market from the existing 27 product portfolio versus this new 5, how much will add to that? If you can, just a ballpark number would be helpful.
The addressable market for the new products is close to around $2.5 billion at the formulation level. So, you know, while we don't have data on the API level, but if one would consider around 30 to 40%, we're talking somewhere around $750 million is the opportunity that one could look at. However, you know, these products, once they become commercial, it will be a slow and steady process for us to reach to a leadership position on these molecules. However, we are confident that given our R&D expertise, that we have full confidence that, you know, there is a path and we will be able to go through that in order to have that leadership position on these molecules. So these are sizable markets for these APIs, but it will be some time before we start having a sizable contribution in the overall revenue with respect
right.
to these new products.
Right, right. And in terms of gross margin, I can see that, you know, we for past two quarters, we have been delivering very kind of almost 80% kind of gross margin right now, you know. So any risk in terms of input price pressure you are witnessing or any? You mentioned the pricing pressure is not there. It's largely driven by volume growth. But any input price pressure which we are foreseeing right now, or we can expect this 80% gross margin to continue going forward?
So basically, in the fermentation business, the you know, the feed which is required to be given to the microbials is mm-hmm. primarily agro-based products. So these products are easily available, and no pricing pressure has been seen in the last one more than 5 to 7 years. So mm-hmm. therefore, the stress on margins is very you know, not very significant, which can be seen. The reason being, there are about 200-300 products of agri-based products. So in case of any prices which is increasing on one or two products, may not have a significant impact on the gross margin.
Overall margins, right.
So therefore,
right.
we don't see any threat on the gross margins.
And no pressure on the pricing side as well. The pricing remains pretty steady so far right now.
Yes, this has been quite steady.
Great, great. All the very best and thank you for answering your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you and over to you.
So, thank you everyone for joining on our Quarter 2 FY24 earnings call. We hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, please get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Concord Biotech, we conclude this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.